Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies, a podcast about people sharing extraordinary stories about how music has impacted their lives.
Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies. I'm your host, Annette Smith, and today it's pretty crazy, right? A good friend, old friend from, 30 years ago, maybe? Yeah, 30 years.
It's more like that, yeah.
It is so awesome. I reached out to her. I'm like, oh my God, I'd love to have you on my podcast. Super nervous, but now we're here today, which I'm excited about. So please welcome Leslie to the show. I need one of those like clappers. Awesome. So before we get started and I ask you a whole bunch of questions, what was your experience putting your playlist together for me today?
I was telling my aunt that I was going to do this tonight. And I was like, it was so hard. Like when you first sent me that, you're like, you like music, right? Do this with me. And then I had like 30 and I was like writing them like in the middle of the night, walking around, writing notes all over the place. And I just like, songs were popping in my head like crazy. And then I knew that. Then I was like, okay, I got to narrow this down. So honestly, what I sent you could probably change today.
I know.
It's really hard. Yeah.
It is really hard. Yeah. I always say, if I was ever asked to pick like 10 to 15 songs, I don't know if I could do it. Like I'm trying because my husband wants to interview me. He's like, But I think I have like maybe 6 songs on there so far. I'm like, I don't know. Because if I pick, like if I go down the pop, you know, if I'm like, oh, I like this Prince song. And then that's where I am. I'm like, yeah. Realm. And I'm like, oh, but like, I like this Guns N' Roses. Then I'm all in the 80s hair band. But then I like Tom Petty. Then I'm all in this realm. Like it's so hard to pick.
Yeah, it is really hard. I did a lot of that. And then I just happened to go through, thank you, Columbia House, my stack of CDs. I'm like, I need to put these on my phone because I don't put them in any CD player on the planet. So then I was like, oh yeah, this song. Oh yeah, that song. So yeah, it's hard.
It is hard. I think it's hilarious that you say Columbia Records.
Thank you, Columbia Records.
That's right. I wonder how much money they lost from all the people that just scam them every like, 1 cent for 10 CDs. Yes, we'll pay that, please. And then we'll never pay you the money. And like a bunch of 13-year-olds buying Columbia Records for a cent.
I paid them, Annette.
Okay, I'm the only one that did.
I had stack like to the roof. If I liked one song, I bought the CD, right? Why not?
Yeah. But that was when music was, that's when you bought music and the whole out, like, you know, maybe there was one or two songs on the album that weren't good, but now it's like, there's a reason why they buy one song. It's like, because how much are you really putting out there that's a good song?
I just like that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
There was a lot of them that were like that. I'm like, why did I like them?
I know. I think I'm trying to think who's coming. We have the Deerfoot in Casino here, and it's just like this cool little casino, but they bring like crazy bands there all the time, like like Anthrax there the other, like a little while ago. It was like, whoa, like crazy to have like Anthrax, but there's like, I don't think it's, it could be like Candlebox is coming, and I'm like, so crazy. Like, I'd go see them, but I'm not quite sure if they'll be really good or not.
You like them?
I'm like, I don't know when I go see them.
What did they sing again? Yeah.
Far Behind. Hold on.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Big. Yeah, Far Behind, I think the song is called. All right, we're going to start with your first song. You ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go. So, come on, don't be a pain in the butt. So Superstar, the Carpenters. So what's your memory or story behind that song?
Well, I think it's, for me, it's my mom. Like it was like, we lived in this tiny, tiny, tiny town, Port Ellis, at the end of the island. So we didn't even live there. We lived in a cabin at the lake. there, and we had to drive to Port Hardy to go grocery shopping. And I, like, she had this case, this brown, ugly case of cassettes, right? And, you know, in there was all the music she liked. And I, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, like the influence parents have on their kids, right? Like, right now, my kids listen to what I like because I get to control the steering wheel in the car and the house everywhere, right? So, yeah, there's a lot of different things in there, country and ABBA and Blondie, but I loved the Carpenters. I loved her voice. I loved all the songs, and so melancholy. And I think it was like a melancholy time of my life and living like so isolated, and we didn't have power. So the only time, like, we didn't have electricity where we live. So the only time we heard music was when we were driving to go somewhere. But yeah, like, just memories of all of us liking the same music and singing it together. And it's sort of the intro to music you get from your parents, right?
Yeah, I agree. Did your parents listen to a lot of music when you were growing up? Like,
yeah.
Dad have a completely different sound of music than your mom?
My parents weren't together. So, but I had a stepfather who played guitar, and he was from Utah.
Oh, no
way. He had a lot of country music. So it was like the green grass at home and what's your mama's name, child? Like he would sing that all the time and play his guitar. And then my dad, when, you know, he was like Joy to the World stuff. Like, even now he always has the radio on and sings to it. And yeah, so different music types, but also like that influence for all of them is there for me. Like, if, you know, we hear a song and you think about your parents or driving or them singing it.
Yeah.
That's why I picked that one, because I was like, yeah, that's that parent influence, right?
It is. And they say that your biggest influence on music or kind of memories is that 12, you know, 11 to like 17 years old is like such a big impact. Like, when you think of memories or a song comes on, like, it doesn't me back like 3 weeks ago. It brings me like, oh my god, I remember in this song and we were here. Or maybe not in the memory, you just remember like, oh my god, this song remembers, you know. Anytime I hear Pearl Jam, I think of Mac Slim. That's the only, like, it's so bizarre. Or that song The Rooster, it's like, oh my god, I can see him singing that song, because that is where that's when that anytime an album came, it was like, oh my god, we got to listen to this music. Yeah. So crazy how much influence your parents have on you with music. So it's almost like you like this old school music, and then your music forced to listen to your kids' music, and then you go find your music again.
I'm not quite at my kids' music yet. I think I still hold the influence. But like, I think the Carpenters is like, I was, must have been like under 10. Like, I knew all the words to the whole, every song on the whole album, like, still do. And I think all of it was like that. Like I could pick, my brother still has that cassette.
Oh, that's cool.
And I could pick any tape out of there and sing every song, because that's all we, like, that's her influence, right? Like, what we listen to all the time. Yeah.
I love it. Do you remember like the first LP or a cassette or CD that you bought with your own money?
Wow. Do you know? I'm pretty sure it was Olivia Newton-John.
No way, really?
I'm pretty sure that Dolphin song one. I think I even thought about putting it on here, except I don't remember anything. But I probably was like 11 and adored her and wanted to be her and wear tight black pants and sing and smoke.
Yeah, always had a cigarette. That's good.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, next song. You're like, I'm so curious with this song because I have memories with this song.
I can't hear it.
Man, that Body Count by Ice-T is such a good album.
I know. I got it is kind of funny, I think, like, how do you go from the Carpenters to I don't know what I thought about, like, I think because I could have got caught up in a lot of what I was influenced by, and I had a lot of, like, especially male friends in my teen years, right, that, like, 14 to 17, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And they influenced me a lot in music. And it's cool though. Like, they would be like, listen to this all the time, right? Like, come over to my house and just listen to this. Like, nothing. Just listen.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like I could pick any of those and it would have the same story. But I don't know. I like this song a lot. It's got such a cool beat.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of connects a little bit to, like, who I am and who I ended up being in my life and my career, right? Which is understanding that there's a whole social dynamic out there. Like, we live in this little crap town, Nanaimo, and it was a lot smaller then, like 30,000 people then. And, like, there's all this activity with the youth that we hung around with, but, like, down there in LA, like, they're serious. Like, they're, you know, there's another gunfight.
Yeah. And
the police don't care, nobody cares. So I think that, like, how awesome of a song it is, like, just the beat of it and the intensity of it, but also the social story behind it, which is, like, you don't fucking care about us down here. Like,
yeah. You're
dying and you don't understand, and you think you have something going on up there, let me tell you what's going on down here, right?
Yeah. I remember when that album came out in Nanaimo. I remember.
Yeah.
And, like, we used to listen to that album all the time, Cop Killer, all that. And then I remember when they banned that album, right? Yeah. Like, holy shit, we got to take this album away from people. It's not safe. It's not safe. And I remember being at a party and they tear gassed the party. You probably maybe have been at this party. And they tear gassed the party and everybody was just kind of scattered. So when you came out the front door, there were pepper spraying everybody. Autumn lost her shoe in there. It was like a fucking nightmare. We all came out. We're all pepper sprayed. We got in the car and had that Acadia car and with the big boom box in the back. And we played Cop Killer over and over and over in the car. Like, think of that. Can you imagine doing that now? Like, we probably would be arrested.
Yeah.
Right? But we couldn't go anywhere. For one, we couldn't see, right? Because we had pepper spray all. I just remember that album so much. And it's funny because I played that album to, like, my husband and my daughter and my son, because they, like, my kids like this hardcore metal, which I don't know how they got onto that, but, like, really hardcore metal. That's my daughter likes scream metal sometimes. And so I played some, they were kind of showing me some rap and I'm like, yeah, that's good. But it's all this about, like, degrading women. Like, let's hear some, like, gangster rap. I'm going to put some NWA on. I'm going to put, like, the Cop Killer Body Count, you know, and they're just, oh, this is creepy, right? Like, never heard stuff like that before, but it was, yeah, it's such a good album. Like, the whole album is good.
It is. And that, they took me to jail that time. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So what happened?
I think because I was, like, deep in the house and you guys maybe were closer to the door.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they did everybody down on the ground and sprayed us all. And yeah, me and they, yeah, they, and I was, I was in the back seat. I was like, handcuffed. Am I under arrest? And they're like, shut up. And I was just kept, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, they got a pile of us. But they just let you go, right?
I know.
And I came home and my roommate was like, holy fuck, you reek. Because I was covered in pepper spray.
Yeah, I remember wearing white and it was just, like, yellow all over. I just remember, like, spraying water on my eyes. That was the first time I've ever been pepper sprayed. And I'm like, this is
just the first. That was the one and only
time I've ever been pepper sprayed. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, let us all go later. Is what are you doing? But actually, it's such a great fit that you bring that up to this, right? Yeah,
it's crazy. I think I know. You start to forget all the crazy things that you do, right? Yes, there was crazy times in our life, but some, like, I want to write a book one day, right? I want to write a book. I don't know if I'll be able to remember everything, but I definitely going to try.
don't name names.
Right, next song. This is a great album too. Black Pearl Jam.
Oh wow. It's kind of funny because I don't know how you cannot love Pearl Jam. I have so many stories about this. I dated a musician for a while and it did not go well. And he was like a good 20 years older than me. I was like 19, he was 31.
Okay.
So not dated, he actually moved in with me and things like that. It was interesting. But so when it ended, one of my friends, Jen, said, this song reminds me, like makes her think about that. And so whenever I hear that song, I think about that time, like we were talking about, right? That who I was then and the influence that he had on me, but also like the lyrics of that, right? Like that, like she was saying, like, she imagines him saying that to me, like, I know you're going to have a beautiful life.
Yeah.
But there's like another part of this that's kind of funny and will probably come up later, is I lived in Australia for a little while and Pearl Jam was coming and then I got fucking third row seat tickets. Like,
no way.
For nothing, like $50. Like, they just don't have the same feeling, right? And I couldn't even believe it. I kept checking. I'm like, am I in the third row? Like, really? So I had these two tickets and we broke up and I was like seriously, the tickets, I was like, could I stay and just see? Like, I left. I wanted to leave. I should say it like, not we broke up, I wanted to leave Australia. I was in Perth, I wanted to go do some other things. And so I left and I left the tickets with him to sell and he fucking sold them and kept the money. We were still kind of together. Like, he just was like, I'm going to put them on eBay and watch how much money. And yeah, you know, he kept the money. Kept the money.
They all do that. They all did that.
I think it's funny. Like, are you serious?
So how did you guys break up?
Myself.
What made you decide to break?
What's that?
What made you guys decide to break up?
Which one?
The older guy.
He was hard to deal with. Mostly, I didn't want him to live with me. So I was really young. I lived with Lucan, and his house got broken into and was scared. So he came and stayed with me, and then he never left. Like, he never left. And then she left and I got another roommate and she left. Like, nobody could tolerate him. And then his like best friend moved in and even he was like, holy shit. And he left. And then I was like, I need to go live. Like, I just don't want to live with you.
Yeah.
We can still be together. But he was like, no, no, no. Like, I like my situation. I think he even said it like that. I'm pretty comfortable like this. So
you're like, well, I'm not. Like,
yeah,
and it was my house first, so I think you're gonna have to move.
It's funny too, because Jen, who like talked about like this song to me, we came in and there was this huge nail, like it was like that, like in this long, and he put like a newspaper clipping that said, one small move and your life moves on. And it was like some weird quote that he found in the newspaper and like put a huge nail hole in the wall. I think we kind of tried to make it work after that, but I was like,
What was your music taste like growing up in high school?
I think that's like probably where it developed a lot, right? I remember, especially like, because it's grade 8 to grade 12 at Barsby. So like a lot of influence. And I feel like that's where I say like, other people's influence probably was the most, right? Especially I had guys that would like tease me because I was an LG 73 girl. And then, but I had like a friend, Mike Poggi, actually. I was like, I don't even mind saying that because it's a shout out to him. And he would be like, come to my house. And he like taught me about like the Sex Pistols and the Ramones.
Yeah.
And it kind of grew from there. And then I had a boyfriend that we'd like go drive, and it was Metallica. So I think like even now, like this will come up later too. Like I'll roll up with, like my kids tell me to turn the music down. They're like, turn it down. It's hurting my ears.
You don't know music until it's loud. Who did you go to jump varsity with? Like, who would have been some people that you hung around with in John Barsby? Because I lasted like 5 months and I got kicked out of John Barsby for fighting every day. Corey Wilson. I fought Corey Wilson every day. It's a fucking nightmare. Did
you over John?
No, it's not even that. This story will blow you away. So where I lived, down the road, her aunt or something lived there, and she lived in the same alley as I did. Mm-hmm. We're growing up, we just had this rivalry for whatever reason. I can't even tell you why. So I would fight her all the time, and she'd always run away, blah, 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 blah. Then I haven't seen her in like 6 years,
yeah,
right? Like I moved on with my life. I had no idea who any of them. I had no idea who Autumn was. I know, like, really.
Oh, wow.
Like, none.
I guess so. The other side of town a bit. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And then when I was 13, 11, yeah, I think maybe 10, maybe 11, 12, 13, I met Autumn at the dam. And so she was at Harewood and I was at Bayview. And we were like these rivalries that never even knew each other. We were just like played sports, and she was a tough girl there. I was a tough girl there. We never even met each other. So I went to the dam with some friends and she was there, and I swam out to the little pot there, and I wanted to like hang out with her, and she jumped off, and then I jumped back in to swim. So I think she thought that I wanted to fight her. But I didn't. I just wanted to share a freezy with her and hang out. That's literally, that's how we became friends. So I had no idea who Corey, like, totally forgot. We were like at the dam one night with Charlize and some other chicks. And then we met up with a group of people, and this girl asked me for a lighter, and I lit her smoke, and her face was Corey. Well, I had no idea who she was. She just started fighting me. Like, I had no idea who this chick was. We just started fighting and I ran away. I'm like, what the hell? I'm not fighting. I don't do that anymore. And then when I went into John Barsby, she was going to John Barsby. So she knew Lee's and all these Anna Ailes, all these people. I had no idea who these people were. They were like, obviously.
I forgot about all of them. You guys, yeah, right? The younger crew, yeah.
Right. So they were like in grades older than me. So I was literally fighting people every single day.
Aw.
Every single day. I remember going into John Barsby bathroom, and I just fought Corey, and Anna Ailes came and pushed me up against the wall. Carrie Lees came in, and then Tasha Brown, because I was really good friends with her younger brother, because we went to elementary school together. She came in and she was like, this is fucking stopping right now. So those two girls like kind of backed off because Tasha was like bigger than that. I don't really fucking know. But then I started dating John, and then yeah. all the girls.
All the world praised you.
All the girls.
John came up.
It was like, what is happening? This freaking world I live in. She actually had a baby with a guy named John Brown. Do you know that?
No.
Isn't that
crazy? It's a lot to think about. I love the Wilsons. I love the Joneses. I used to go to their houses a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know that story. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know. I don't know if we ever really reconciled, or we just kind of like, she just kind of eventually let it go. Like, I never wanted to fight her again. Like, this is when I was like super young, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't even remember who you even are. Like, so random, all of that stuff, right? And then all the house parties were on the same app for years before I was even exposed to it by craziness later on in my life, right? So crazy. Yeah. Blows me away.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like when I can't even think of who I hung out with because I don't like, there's not the same people. Like my friends and bars, like we actually like in grade 10, they started bringing in the people from Cedar, right?
Yeah.
And that was the first time. And that was an adjustment. Like there was a lot of like stuff there. Like, I don't know what the guys went through, but I know us girls were like, fuck no. Right. Like yeah. This is our turf. And that must've been hard for them to be shipped over. Right. Like it was a change that happened that year when we all went into grade 11.
Yeah.
But it was okay. Like I think somehow we sorted it out and like, then it became like this immersion of like Cedar crew and Harewood crew, crew. It just seemed to work out okay. And then there's like all the downtown people. But when I like went to school, actually, like I have like people that I knew and friends there, but most of them were older than me. Like most were a year ahead of me. Like Linda and Chana and Heather. In my grade, I had like my best friend that I ended up moving in with, Shannon, but I did not love Carrie. Like that was not, you know, like I went like that, that was who I went to school with, is Gemma Fortune, Carrie Lees, Tasha Brown, like that's, but Mel Malcolm, like we just partied. Yeah.
Then I think, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember the outfits? Like, I remember what Carrie used to wear to high school. Mm-hmm. Like lace and like very slutty, you know, skin tight pants and high heels. And like, it's so crazy to think like, you know, and.
This is my PE class. This is what, like, I kind of had like, I don't have any problems, but somehow there I got away with having knee problems. So my PE teacher would let me time everybody and sit. And so I'd see like Carrie and my friends, like Jen and Shannon, like come, because we're all in the same freaking PE class together, right? They'd be smoking, walking along, and I'd click. I'm like, okay, right, they're timed down. Go tell the teacher. Yeah, they're just cooling down in the change room. And like we just have like a whole, like, because nobody was around. So I'd sit and have a smoke and they'd go walk. Like they're like, we're not running. We're not girls that run. That's not us. We smoke. We talk.
I love it. I love it. No, then I went to NDSS and graduated. Oh. So like totally night and day, right? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't know who like any of you guys were until bar age, till you guys became bar age, really. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember you. So like in school, I remember like Autumn too. Like Jason and John are my friends, like that's who I spent time with. Like, so it was more like when you guys got much older and we were bar age that I was like knew who you were and who I was, right? Yeah.
That's right. It's so crazy.
Everybody's little sisters.
That's right. All right. I love this next song. Your playlist is so good. Some November Rain, Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I was such a huge Guns N' Roses fan. Huge. I loved Axl. I loved Duff. I might even love Duff more than Axl. I just loved them.
I know. I love Duff too.
Autumn, the bass players are hot.
Autumn loved Axl Rose. I always thought he stuffed his pants.
Oh, either way, it doesn't matter.
It's aggressive.
Yeah, I loved them. I just loved them. They were... like probably if I think about like my under 20s, like that was my band. And I did see them live in Vancouver. I went with Bernie and Heidi and it was, I don't know. It was like such a, it wasn't as like, I was so excited to go and I loved them so much, but we had like nosebleed seats. I couldn't see, I had to get binoculars. Like, wasn't what I expected at all.
Yeah.
And then when we left, the riot police were out. Like, mm-hmm. Whatever they expected was going to happen. I think there was stuff happening around Guns N' Roses concerts then. So they had the riot police out, and there's like, oh, and like that even agitates me, right? Like, you're like, well, fuck you, right? Like, back to Ice-T, right? Like, why are you out here? What do you want?
Yeah.
So So, and I remember us like walking in the street and like, even there's so many people, you just get pushed right into them and they're all just standing like against the building with their shields up and like no faces, like just blank steel, like, you know, what does it take to be that guy?
Do you remember your first concert?
I think it was the Rolling Stones, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, like I probably would have saw like what's her name, Alana Miles, and
Kim Mitchell.
Yeah, you know, all the Trooper, but not like that. Like I went to the Rolling Stones, and I think right after that I went to Guns N' Roses. What, Mike White?
Really? That's crazy.
He was the show guy, right? Like he set up all the shows over to Vancouver, get on the ferry, get on the bus.
That's right. That's crazy. They didn't get us underage kids into bars. It was awesome. Do you remember your favorite concert? So far today?
Yeah, I think Alanis Morissette, mostly because I loved her and because we had third row seats, we're on the floor, we weren't sitting. And she just was so heavy. Like I was like, holy, like it's so different live, right? Yeah. Like the heaviness of her musicians, and it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, she would be really good live. Probably back then too, yeah. Right? When it was like, yeah, we're women. Let's fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
And she encouraged that, right?
I heard that.
Sing that song to your boyfriend and be like, oh, I'm just singing this song. They're like, with so much power and aggression, why?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm just singing the song. You're so mad cleaning the house. You have a crazy cat there? Or is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay now.
I want to take you back to the 80s, and you'll probably say who we already said, but if you could sleep with one... and 80s lead singer or bassist or guitar player or drummer, who would it be?
Well probably Axl and Duff at the same time.
Yeah,
that would they come together. Slash can come too.
I was like a big
Vince, the whole band, why not? Steve too, let's go,
let's have them all. Really, it'd be a tough pick back then.
Yeah,
so many guys that I was like, yeah, I like that guy. Yeah, like I loved Vince Neil, not now because Vince Neil's eight. His smaller self, Vince Neil, now. But back then, I loved Vince Neil and Tommy Lee. Like, I was like, yeah.
How could you not, considering who you spent your time with? Did you have a choice? Did you even have a choice?
I didn't have a choice. I had to love them. And I just went and seen them again in Edmonton in September. I took my daughter in autumn. And another girlfriend of mine, and we seen Joan Jett, Poison, Leopard, and Motley Crue.
I'm jealous. You know why? You see my list.
It was so good. Like, I was like, this is so good.
Yeah, it would have been. They're just like such finessed musicians, right? Like, they're set. Yeah. Like the music, the actual music and the actual singing.
Yeah, I love going to concerts when you know like every single song. It's so fun. It's like, don't play your new stuff. Just play all of your stuff that we want to sing to. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
Anthems.
So what about, like, obviously your husband's from Ethiopia. What kind, like, did you get into a lot of that type of music?
No.
No, it wasn't good?
It is, but it's another language. I think like it does actually, it does have like some good tribal beats. Like I could probably get like, he does that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, maybe because I don't hear it here, but there's one restaurant that we go to in Vancouver. And I actually, you're right on that. When we go there, I'm always like, like, cause I like it. I like the vibe. I like the music.
Yeah.
It has like that memory, the smells. Yeah.
I love that. So what kind, like, what about when you met him, what kind of music was he listening to when you met him?
He would have been listening to Ethiopian music. He knows, like, actually, you know what? That's a good lead in because, like, they're, okay. so you know who Rastafari is, right? Yeah, so reggae music. So Ethiopia has a king. I can't say it right now, but he, it's the last name. So he, there's like this story, history, whatever, that Jamaica was in a drought. And he came and visited, and when his plane landed, it rained. And they saw him as Jesus. This is like true. So Jamaica and Ethiopia have this huge connection. I did not know this when I went there.
Wow.
And there's a town there that is dedicated for Rastafarians. So there's like Jamaicans that come there and go live. Like it's their holy land.
Wow.
Yeah. So he listened to a lot of reggae.
Yeah, like yeah. All types of reggae. So you're like, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like super different.
Bob Marley. Reggae. He loved Bob Marley. Like he still does. Even my kids are like, we should get him a Bob Marley shirt. I'm like, hey, I don't see him walking around with Bob Marley.
That'd be weird. Let's not do that. Yeah. All right, next song. Great. Another great song. The Meryl Smith, Come Together.
Yeah. I think that it's similar to Guns N' Roses. Like, I just love Aerosmith. And I think, like, love them. Yeah, see, I forgot about Steven Tyler. But I still think I would have, like, the Guns N' Roses. But, like, I feel like the summer that Permanent Vacation came out and then Pump right after it, those albums were huge. Like they were always on the radio. Everybody was singing everything. It just makes me think of summer, like just being at the dam and like hanging out with my friends, partying, cars, not hard partying, just we're hanging out. Like,
yeah,
there's more joint, chill, relax. You know, nobody's fighting, nobody's angry, you're just listening to music and having fun and being
kind of like being at the trestle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just summer music. Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in between the rocks, jumping off the block if you want to jump off the block, or just watching people do that and just having fun doing that. So you've obviously traveled the world. It's the most unusual thing you've ate.
I haven't eaten anything too unusual, I think, but goat probably for most people. Oh. Yeah. It's like really delicious.
Is it?
You're like, oh, yeah.
Did you have it in Australia? Is that where you had it or?
No, in Ethiopia.
Okay. That makes sense.
I didn't eat anything weird in Australia.
How long? So you were in Ethiopia for 10 years?
7 years.
7 years. What do you love most about the country? Like obviously you went there, it was probably a little bit of a culture shock.
Oh yeah, it was pretty huge. Like I needed an ATM and they were like, we don't have an ATM. So I had to go to the foreign currency place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cash. Just for a little while, because I didn't I didn't bring money when I came. I was like, use the ATM when I get there. And they don't have ATMs. They do to get like if you have an Ethiopian bank account. To get your Ethiopian birr out, but not to just use, your international card. Yeah.
Was your plan to go there for a certain amount of time and then you ended up staying for so long?
I didn't have a certain amount of time. I just wanted to go there. Like I had for a really long time, even before I left Nanaimo, and then I went to Edmonton for 4 years. I had that thought and feeling for 5-6 years before I went. And then I didn't go straight away to Ethiopia. I went to Indonesia first. So it was a few years, I just wanted to go to Africa. I had an idea, a vision.
So what did you do there? Like you were just, you just saved up a bunch of money, went to Bali for a few years.
No. I did have some money. But I took the global English teaching. Okay. So I was working, I had child and youth care background, and I was working with kids and people coming off the street, kids coming off the street and stuff like that. So I had like this idea that I would go and like rescue child soldiers. Once I went overseas, I realized that's not the right thing. Like actually what I can do is help their people to help them but I had that was the idea that I had. I was like, I'm going to go help these poor child soldiers. But then when I got there, I realized, no. Like that's their people need to come and help them and return them to their community and heal. Like that's not mine. So that was how I figured I could do it. But I started with going over teaching. So I went to Indonesia first. And yes, I did go to Bali a few times, but I wasn't in Bali.
Yeah.
And then I went to Ethiopia. And like, I think the first few months after I got there in August, and I met my husband in September, and we were married in March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love at first sight.
It was actually like that. Like one of my coworkers had heard me and one of my roommates talking about going on a tour. And he was like, oh, I have a tour company. Don't book anything. Like I'll plan it all for you. And like, we work with them. So we're like, cool. Yeah. Right. It's hard. Like you can't talk the language. We just got there a couple months, like not even 1 month. So that's what happened. They picked us up from the house and I got in the Land Cruiser and I passed my bag back to the guy behind me and it was my husband and he looked at me and I looked at him and it was that.
Wow. You slept together that night.
Nope, we didn't.
2 days later.
Nope, we didn't. but probably because he was shy.
That's how mine was too.
Yeah.
Still 3 days later we slept together. So
like no, it was New Year's there. That's why it was like we went on this tour. It was their Ethiopian New Year's is in September. And there was this old guy that was also like we were in a big house, right? Together with all these people that work there. And this guy Bruce from fucking Australia. Oh my God, he was so gross. Oh. But he like was obsessed with me. And he was like 60. I'm not kidding. So we went out, we partied a bit, the three of us, because it was New Year's and all the other two went to sleep. And then I went to my room. And I went in there and I hear this knock on my door and I'm like, well, it's either the one I like or the one I don't like. And I'm not answering either one of them tonight.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And my husband, like later he'll say like he heard him knocking. He was like, that fucker, right? But that guy messed with us for a while, actually. We had a few people mess with us, like try to not let us get together.
Really, eh?
Yeah. People are hard.
People are hard. I love that story. All right. This is such a good song. Some Radiohead, Creep.
Yeah. Who could you not have that song on
there? I know. It's
such a good song. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about that one. I think just it came out and it was, I think about like my friends at that, you know, we're probably in our more mid-20s at that time. And actually, not so much actually. That might have been I was back to the 1920 because the boyfriend's friend, the band guy's friend used to play it in the bar. He played the guitar. He was fantastic, Donnie. But it's just the lyrics are just like, I love that. Like, I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice. Like, it's just so, like, the lyrics are so good. Like, I don't know. It's probably one of the best songs ever, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. What do you think? What's been the most physical pain you've ever had?
Childbirth.
Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't it good?
I had children in Ethiopia, Annette.
Oh my God, how was that?
Yeah. It was awful. I thought I was gonna die. They even brought an oxygen tank in. But I didn't die. I made it. They had no water, like no hot water. So I was like, I need some hot water. And they brought me a bucket, like with the scoop. I was like, oh, I'll just wait till I go home. Forget it. I think I went in there and like tried to figure it out and was like, no. No, I'll just wait till I go home.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But I lived.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to take my baby home now. Thank you for that experience. Yeah. Scary.
Yeah.
Is it brutal labor? 50 hours?
No, it wasn't. It just, well, first of all, I never thought I would ever have children. So the whole idea of it like really disgusted me. There's a word for that. There's an actual like phobia of childbirth. I can't remember what it is. I know. I've just learned that recently in the last few years. Yeah. So I never thought I would get married and have kids. Never, ever, ever. And so that was like, I was like, oh, how's it going to get out? It was hard. I did not like it. Painful.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I would not. You know, people always say like, after you have them, you forget about it. I'm like, no, that's not true.
I don't remember the pain at all. I remember like the process, but yeah. I don't remember like if it was painful or anything like that at all.
You got drugs. I didn't get any drugs.
I had an epidural. I had cesarean.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Here, let's.
I knew that. I just didn't want to out you.
Yeah, I had a tilted uterus, so I was super fancy. So yeah. I tried, but they're like, no, this kid is.
We'll take care of this.
80-pound girl is having a 10-pound baby, probably not going to be natural. So we should probably cut the baby out of her. That makes total sense. But we're going to, first, before we do that, we're going to make her go through the whole entire process.
Oh my gosh.
Hours. And then at like 5 a.m, then we'll do a cesarean.
We'll wait till 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah. And then the second one, we'll schedule a cesarean, but we'll still wait until 5 a.m. to, like, literally Isaiah is like 5:18 and Ayla's 5:20.
Oh my gosh.
Scheduled cesarean. I'm like, if I'm here at 8 a.m, like why are we? What's going on here?
I just want to see how this goes.
Can I just like fall asleep and then wake up and there's a child on me? Isn't that how it works? No, I mean,
is that not your worst physical pain too?
No, I didn't feel anything. The epidural was fine. After sucked, right? I had like a crazy nurse when I had Isaiah. She was like, because I was so young. Yeah. She's like, and I wanted to really breastfeed, right? I was like, I want to breastfeed. Like, this is important to me. And she just like, every time I turned around, she had a bottle in his mouth. And like, she just wanted me to take a shit. That's all she cared about. And I'm like, I just had a baby. Like, it's 8:30 in the morning. I'm not taking a shit anytime soon. She was so aggressive all the time, waking me up. You need to go poo. And I'm like, I'm not going poo anytime soon. I just had my stomach.
What the hell is that?
No, I guess because if you go and have a bowel movement, you can then get the fuck out of the hospital. So they just wanted me the fuck out of the hospital. And then every time I saw her feeding Isaiah with a bottle, I was like, fine, it's gonna fucking snap.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's messed up. That's a lot.
Stop giving my child a bottle, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, give me my baby and get out.
I know, I finally got.
You did have a psycho nurse. I don't even know what to say. That's so crazy.
I know, I finally got Tiger to like bring him in the room and like leave him in there and stop taking him away to the other babies. Yeah. Right? It was so weird. Like, oh, there's your baby right there in the window. It's like, no, I'm getting my baby. Like, this is weird. I'm fine. No, you can't touch the baby until you go poo. It's like, what's happening?
Why?
What is happening?
Oh my God, that's such a crazy story.
Yeah, she was weird.
That is very weird, Annette. That is very weird.
Great tune, Leslie. I love this song. I used to sing that song because at the time I didn't give a fucking damn about my reputation. It's probably not good, but still a good tune.
That's why I picked it.
You didn't give a shit about your reputation.
Oh, I think there's been times where I didn't. I did probably, like, when my younger years didn't even care. But, like, I probably didn't know what a reputation was. Just let, this is me. Like, that bravado of being young and just doing whatever I wanted and saying whatever I wanted and whatever, I don't care. I don't have a sense of, like, shame or guilt ever. I would say until, like, probably more now, like in my adult years, where when I was in Edmonton, I worked with this guy. His name is Wallace Kendall. Awesome. He was a much older guy, and he had like a program called, oh, I can't remember now. I helped him with it a lot though. But he had this program for kids on the street that, like, could come in and do art and music. And like, some of the kids I work with, I'd bring them there. And they had like a little makeshift studio where they would go in and record. And we worked with, like, you know, he was a solo, like an independent, like, around this place. And I worked for John Howard Society, which I loved. But I had to be a little bit more professional, and I just had, like, such a hard time sometimes with probation officers and social workers. And we had a couple of kids mutual, and I was talking to him about something one time, and he's like, Leslie, I'm not in this to make friends. And it, like, stuck with me. I was like, yeah, why do I give a shit what they think about me? Like, I'm not, like, I'm trying to help somebody and save their life here. Like, I don't care if I, like, annoyed you today.
Yeah.
You don't like my email or my phone call? Fuck you. Like, this kid needs help. Like, why do you keep sending him to the shelter? I want to ask you, right? So I think, like, I feel like when I was younger, I had that bravado of, like, I don't care. I didn't care. And then it, like, came all this guilt and shame and, like, I have to be good. And then he kind of brought me back to that, like, what's good? Like, say what you need to say. Like, you know, fight, advocate for people. Like, who cares what you're, you know, let them think you're an asshole and difficult, because what you're doing is important, right? So I think about that. And I just love Joan Jett. Love her. I listen to her every day.
No way, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, probably wow. Every time.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. I like that you said that. It's important, because there's lots of times, you know, obviously we grew up kind of crazy, and sometimes I kind of go back to that era a little bit, and but then I'm like, whatever. Like, it's a story. It's made me who I am today. I made a decision to leave that environment, and never kind of look back. And sometimes I feel like I ran away. Like, when I experienced seeing Todd and I had all that stuff come up, I felt like, oh my God, I gotta go face some of this. You know what I mean? So it's like, I felt like I ran away, but it was like, no, none of those people fucking contacted me when I moved.
No.
They didn't give a shit about me. And when I went to Nanaimo just recently in September, I reached out to Rhonda before, and I haven't seen her in like 26 years. So I had not seen my parents in 26 years. Okay.
Wow.
It's so crazy. I go and see my parents, which is totally weird, completely bizarre. And then that day that I'm visiting my parents, I'm supposed to go see Rhonda and, like, stay the night, which is kind of crazy because I haven't seen her. So, and I'm, you know, me and my husband are going to go stay the night. So I'm exposing my husband to, like, this total maniacness, right, of my parents, who I haven't seen in a long time. And then I'm like, hey, we're driving to Dunkin' and now we're gonna go see Rhonda. Don't know what that's gonna really entail. And it was so crazy because the stories that you tell yourself, right? I remember, like, seeing here, we embraced and we laughed and it was so much fun. And we're, like, so grateful that my husband and her husband, like, disconnected, because we were just, like, off in our own thing. We were outside and it was crazy. I was like, hey, did we separate on a good note? Because I can't remember. She's like, yeah, what did you think? She's like, I moved to Cobble Hill. You were still, but I forgot all that. My only insecurities were, like, did we get in a fight and then we stopped talking and then I moved away? And, you know, am I going to have to come here and apologize for something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was all these insecurities kind of coming back. And it's just been so nice to like reconnect with her, and that wasn't the situation. And yeah. Girls and all of that again, you know, because her daughter was 9 months older than Isaiah, but or not even, no, he was like 6 months and she was like 9 months, Brit, right? Yeah. Like even that, and like Ironside passing, like all of that, just down this,
yeah,
fit in 26 years in like
yeah,
an hour of conversation, and then come in the house and talk to our husbands, and then be like, we'd step out again. You know what I mean? It was just like so cool to experience that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool that that's who you connected with. Like Rhonda, I think she figured it out early, right? Like, whatever, like I'm out of here, and
yeah,
and lived her life and made a better life for herself. Like, that's not running away. That's like, this isn't going to work here, right? So
yeah. I always looked at it running away, and then just kind of going back and seeing that, it made me feel like, no, I was doing what was right for us, and I didn't love it. My kids to grow up in this psychotic fucking environment.
Then I'm whole.
Then I'm whole.
Yeah. Oh. My husband loves it there. I'm like, no.
No, you don't. You just quit. You don't love it there. Yeah. All right, next song. Rihanna and Eminem did such a great job of that song, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, I love Eminem. I always have liked Eminem. I think I could have picked any song, right? Like I had to, you know, when you were talking earlier, like where's the genres here? Because I like this reggae. I'm a huge reggae fan, but I also love rap music and heavy metal and country and la la la. So it's hard to like pick, right? But I don't know. I think I like that one because I like Rihanna's part in it, right? But I just like the whole message. And I think probably, I don't know, Annette, we could pick anybody that we know. Like we've all been through that, right? Like there's the guy that, and we're the girl. Like we're the, like fire, right? We're just too intense, too much. And it's not working like that, but it feels so wonderful when it's wonderful, and it's like really dangerous when it's not.
I know.
It's such a good song. I appreciate that he did that because that takes a lot for him to come clean with too, right? Like that's what makes them artists, both of them, and what she's been through too. Like hers is so public, right? The battery that she received about, like, so for both of them to have the courage to say like, yeah, this is what it feels like. It feels like amazing and terrible.
Yeah. Me and Autumn were talking about that a little while ago, just like how crazy it was, how young we were. Mm-hmm. Right. And how old the guys were that we were hanging around with. Right. And like, if I look at my daughter, right, if she dated an older man, I would like that, I would lose my shit, completely come unglued, right? But it was so normal. It just seemed in our space and our bubble, that just seems so normal. But then as you get older and you have a family, you have, you know, a girl, and you're just like, this is not fucking normal. Like this is not a normal thing. This is, you know, so then you just, again, you start spiraling down there like, holy fuck, like, did anybody who was an adult, right? Like older than us, like not see this as like not a good place for us young women to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Growing up in a single mother's poverty situation, right? That's what it is. Like, no, who's around, right? Who's
even paying?
Who even knows what we're doing? Yeah, I actually, like in my work, like I talk to a lot of teenage girls, and when they talk about their boyfriends and stuff, I always crack jokes about, I never dated a teenage boy. Like, holy, that must be terrible.
You guys just talk about video games? Like, what do you guys do?
Yeah, like, ew. Well, they'd be so immature, right? That's like, but
no. That's
like, what does that say? Is I only dated adults. Like I never dated a teenage boy. Like I always straight, like what you're saying, straight for like in 18, 19, but when I'm like 15, 16, right?
That's right. 14, 15, 13. Yeah. Right. Like that's crazy. So obviously it's interesting that you pick that line of work with your. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a funny story because like, I feel like there was, okay. This is like a deep story maybe. One time we're all hanging at the 7-Eleven in Harewood. And so it's like John Dodd and John Brown and he's dating Shanna at that time and he has a car. He's like probably the only one with a car. And so we decided to go to Bowen Park outside pool and go for a swim. It's hot as summer, right? So there's the boys, there's the girls, right? Like this kind of speaks to that song. Like we're coming along, right? And so the Johns decide to jump over the fence and go for a swim. Who fucking cares, right? But the police came and everybody got away except John Brown. And there he is in soaking wet jeans getting handcuffed. And he handed me John's keys because he happened to have them. And like, I just remember that distress and like thinking like, this is so unfair. Like, are you kidding? Like, you don't even care about us. Like mm-hmm. that are just standing here, us girls and whoever else didn't go in. But you're like, why are you arresting somebody for jumping over a fence and going swimming in the middle of summer? Like, tell us to go home, right? Yeah. And I think like that was a time where I was like, I want to help. And I did have like boyfriends and friends that were like in and out of jail, like young. Like I said, I never dated anybody that was in high school, right? So I can't even go visit them. I think one of my first boyfriends, Brian, I had to like wait till I turned 18 to go visit him in jail. Like, and I did. I think that just had an influence on me. Like I wanted wanted to help youth. Like, well, this doesn't seem right. Like, how can we treat people like this? Like they're just kids. We're just kids. Like he's just a kid. Like who cares? Tell him to go home. Drive him home. Why are you arresting him for swimming in a pool in his jeans? It's hot.
Yeah. But 80 people in that town and 30 of them that we hang out with or plus a little bit more, maybe 50, and they knew every single one of their names.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy.
Yeah, and I think he was dating Luzanne then, and he went to jail. Like he didn't. He went. They sent him off to Campbell River for a while.
So crazy.
Like for what? It is crazy, you know. And the thing is, I don't think that would happen now. Like I don't think like in this day and age that like any judge would send a kid to jail for swimming, you know, outdoor pool.
You'd like come back when you break into something, or you know,
go clean the pool. Like, find a solution. Come on, right?
No, I think it's awesome that you chose that line of work, right? It's incredible. It's really cool. I love it. Like, I love even, you know, like I connected a little even with Denise, like long time ago when I first, you know, kind of moved out here and she was like becoming a nurse. And I'm like, it's like the women of our group have excelled. And the men of our group have passed away a lot.
Yeah. I've thought those exact same things. Like there's so many brothers that are gone, like so many, like it's unbelievable to count. And like somehow we all survived, right?
I know. It's so bizarre when you think about it. It's weird. All right, next song. We got two left. All right. Speaking of Bob Marley.
Yeah.
This is a great song, redemption song. So good.
Yeah. It kind of speaks to a lot of what we're just saying, right?
It really is.
I think I'm a huge, huge reggae fan. I didn't know that I was until like one day that I realized that I was. Like whenever I was in the bar and they played Red Red Wine by UB40, like I'd be like dancing on the speakers. Like I think everybody probably knows that's my song. But just like over the years, I kind of realized like that's my genre that I like really, really love. And this song, I feel like has been through my life in all sorts of places. When I first went overseas, when I went to Indonesia, I met this couple there, Dave and Julie from England. They're like, I could tell you 50 stories about them. And there's this guy, Matt from the US. And like, we just like, we hung out together a lot. But Dave and Matt were musicians. Like they both sang and played. And, but like Dave worked at this ceramic company there. They were just, Matt was a teacher. So they would have like these little concerts and it was cool. But we just like, I just had so much fun. And that was one of the ones that he played. And then when I had my youngest, Levi, that was like, both of them, they had songs that I sang to them that was their song. And this was the one, like whenever I was like walking in and stuff, I sang the redemption song to him.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I think like I could like everywhere, I just feel like it's through. I went to Ghana one time for some training when I was in Ethiopia and I was there by myself and it's like this big, beautiful ocean. And there's a reggae party on the beach, but I didn't like, I'm not going to go to it. Right. Like I'm a white girl in some African country. Like I am not stupid. Right? I'm not going to go walk down a beach by myself, a country that I'm not really like know anything about. Like I just landed to go to a conference, right? But I was hanging out looking over the seawall. Like there was this huge wall and this one of the musicians came down and he was like, I'm the last one on, can I practice? And he like sat there and went through like the whole Bob Marley albums and like, and everybody kept calling, they're like, come back. I'm like, to this guy and I'd say, okay, I'm gonna go now. He's like, no, one more. So it was like a little private concert there.
That's cool.
But he was like 8 feet below me. Like there was this huge wall, so I was like up on the top of it and he's down there on the beach. And that was, yeah, it was just funny, like Bob Marley in my life.
I love it. So we're gonna pick your last song, but I want you to pick.
Oh my gosh.
There.
Okay. What do I got left?
AC/DC, Who May Who?
Yeah.
The Reason That I Would Be Good and Red, Red Wine.
Okay, let's go. That I Would Be Good.
Okay.
I think it's not, mostly because I think it's not a song like most people really listen to.
Okay.
You gonna play it?
Yep.
That I would be good.
Alanis Morissette, That I Would Be Good.
Do you know that song enough?
I do. I haven't heard it forever now. I'm going to add that to my playlist. I haven't heard that song forever.
Instead of alarms, I put songs on my phone to like tell me it's time to go to work. So Joan Jett is my go to work song. Turn the World On version. Yeah. And this is my bedtime song. So that's when this song plays, my kids know it's bedtime. But I think it's like a good way to end the day too, right? And I was always I really liked Alanis Morissette, and then this album came out and I remember listening to it and coming, you know, like full, and then coming across this song and I was like, holy shit, I felt like I could breathe again. Like it gave me room to breathe, and it was a hard time in my life. I had probably the hardest breakup I've ever had. And I moved in with Jen and I just was like struggling with, cause it didn't go well. Like there was lots of love there still, but there was another woman involved and he ended up marrying that woman. And then they broke up and then he like called me and wanted me to come back to him. Like it was a lot. I did not. No. And I feel like in that time, it was like such a good song to help me heal, right? And I would listen to it over and over and over, like you do when you're heartbroken, right? Like it just, like I was, that's probably where I was starting to change. Like I wasn't hanging around the same people, we'll say it like that. I was going to university. I was kind of looking at like, who do I want to be? How do I want to live my life? I'm not at the casino anymore. I'm working in a group home. Like that relationship ended. And so like I had like this whole different future ahead of me, right? But like all the baggage of my childhood and my youthhood. So I don't know. I think it's like good for me to hear it. And lots of times I actually will send it to some of my clients. I'll say, you need to listen to this. And they usually are like, wow.
That's really cool to do.
Yeah.
And then they can have their own experience attached to that song too.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I send music to my clients sometimes, Annette.
Listen to this song. I love that. I love that. I send music to my friends all the time. I'm like, hey, check out this song. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this that you're sending me? Because it's really funny stuff. And other times it's like totally off the wall. And then other times they're like, oh yeah, I really like this song. Right. But I love doing that. I love hearing something. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta share this song because nobody's probably ever, you haven't heard this song or whatever. And I get so excited about it.
I think about like, you know, how many people influenced me, like back to my parents, back to like guys that I hung out with mostly. And even some girls that are like, you know, like listen to the song, we learn the lyrics together and stuff. Like, that influenced me in music. And I don't feel like I always influence other people. So maybe I will start to a little bit more and say like, you should listen to this. And there's lots, right? Lots of people that are like, hey, check out Norah Jones or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much, Leslie, for being on Music Junkies today. But before I let you go, I'd love for you to leave us with some words of wisdom.
Listen to music.
Great words of wisdom.
It will save you. It will fill you up. I don't know. I don't have words of wisdom.
I think that was great. Listen to music. It will save you. That's probably the best words of wisdom I've heard so far. Right? Thank you so much for being on the show. Did you have a good time?
I did.
Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. New episodes out every Monday. Please share with a friend and subscribe because you want to. And like me because you like me. Leave a comment so we can connect. And if you have a great playlist and you want to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Please reach out to me on Instagram @TheMusicJunkiesPodcast.